God tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck. I speak your
truth, my voice. In our which church they're not in this morning, any person who is in Jesus Christ has the same hope, heaven. Now, I know that goes against a lot of jokes you probably heard where they said, you know, we'll have this denomination in this corner of heaven and they won't know anybody else is here and in this denomination over here. No, we all have the same hope, you know. If you're in Christ, the hope is that we're going to get to see heaven, and that's an awesome thing. Okay, you know, I think we're probably going to look back and laugh at that, all the divisions we had, thinking how foolish that was to think my denomination was it, you know, and other people's were way off. So go on then, he says in verse 5, there is one Lord. We share the same Lord. There is one faith. There's only one way to be saved. That's through faith. So if you're in Christ today, you had to come through faith. There's no other way. We share that same kind of testimony. How were you saved? By faith in Christ. Same testimony. Okay. There's one baptism, meaning there's only one way to be identified with Christ. That's by water baptism. And once you're baptized to identify yourself with the Lord, that's it. We don't say you've got multiple baptisms and every flavor has their own kind of baptism thing. You know, it's no. There's only one baptism. You know, you can argue over what method or mode you want to go with, but there's really only one. If you're in Christ, you're identified with Jesus, not identified with anything else. Matter of fact, there are some churches out there that do identify you with their church if you're baptized. I'd be real careful about that because the Bible tells us when we're baptized, we're identified with Christ. We're not identified with the church. You better check that one because there's really only one baptism, the Lord says right here. There's only one God and Father of who? Of all. Okay? Who is over who? All. And who is through whom? All. And who is in whom? All. Yeah, so the Lord really brings it down to this level that you might think you got something more going than the next guy, and he says, no, it's all the same for all of us, okay? So hold on to this one. This is one to chew on, isn't it? Yeah, I look at this passage, it's like, my goodness, this thing goes really, really deep. Because the Lord expects us as children to have the bond of peace. And he shows us why. This unity of the Spirit is pretty deep. We have a lot in common. Okay? Now you think about this. With all this in common, things that we have that are differences, do they measure up to this stuff at all? I don't think so. You know? Like I said, we might have differences with people and some of the views they have doctrinally, but I don't know how you want to look at that. You might say, well, they need to read the whole Bible. You know, they haven't got that far yet. They just got their few pet verses they like. Keep reading. You know, there's more in there than that. But don't look down on him. Encourage him to grow. And he's going to talk about that some more, too, in this passage. Okay? So, yeah, that's the unity of the Spirit the Lord opens up for us to look at. Now, with that going for all of us, now he's going to say, well, wait a minute, there's individuals still in the body of Christ, too. Because look at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And here it's talking about our spiritual gift. It's saying, okay, we have one body, but wait a minute, we're still individuals, and that's true. We're still individuals. And within that, God has given each of us a spiritual gift to use for his service. And this is what he's talking about here, are the gifts that God has given to us. Because if you read on, it says again, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. And it's saying, this was God's program. Once Jesus ascended and went back to be with his Father and to be seated at his right hand, now he has left the job for us to carry on. In order to do that, he didn't leave us on our own. He not only gave us his Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gave us gifts to use to serve him. Okay? Now, he mentions here that when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train. And the idea is that he's a conqueror. He was victorious. After he went to the cross, after he conquered death, he now is ascending into glory in the state as a conqueror, as a victor. He's the winner. Okay? And in the process, he didn't just leave us, but he actually gave gifts to us. Now it goes on in verse 9, it says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? There's some different ideas on that. Some think it means simply him coming down to the earth from heaven. Some take it to the point of that he went to the grave, that he went down to Hades and he preached to the people down there. And rather than get into all that at this point, because the Lord talks about that stuff later on at the end of the New Testament, at this point, his focus is on those gifts. And he is saying the Lord has done, he's gone to the lowest depths, okay? From the lowest depths to the highest heavens. He is overall, he is the victor overall, and he has now given us the gifts to use in service to him. And that's what he goes on in verse 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So he mentions here that he has given these offices to the church, and for what reason? To prepare God's people for works of service. Now I want you to notice something here. He mentions these people, the apostles, and we have those listed for us in Scripture here. He has prophets, and he's told us about few of them, but we were told earlier in Ephesians that anyone in Christ, Jew or Gentile, is there because of the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay? Then it goes on and say that there are also evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers, and the purpose of all of them isn't to do the work of the ministry, if you notice here. It's to prepare God's people for works of service. And the idea of preparation there means to make that person complete. So the job of all these offices is to make sure that the people of God are equipped, fully equipped, and able to do the work God has called them to do. So with the gifting that God has given to you, it's the responsibility of these people to make sure that you're able to use the gift and you know how to use it and you're able to use it effectively. Now, isn't that a different picture than what we're used to seeing? You know, a lot of times in ministry, we think, well, let the preacher do that. You know, we paid him. He's the one who can take care of all that stuff. But biblically, the Lord says, no. The job of the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, is to prepare God's people for the works of service. Okay? And the idea is that it's supposed to be a real healthy body. Okay, it goes on to talk about that. It says, the result of that in verse 12 is so that the body of Christ may be built up. The idea is that we might be strengthened, we might be healthy. Everybody, part of that body. Okay, he says there's a point in time, he says in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So he mentions here, until we actually get to that point where we are filled completely with Christ. And of course, when is that going to happen? That's going to happen when we get to heaven. So until we stand in the presence of the Lord says, here's what we're to be busy doing. We're to be equipping the body of Christ so that they can do the works in service to the Lord with the gift God has given them so that the entire body of Christ might be built up and might be strong. So, you know, I think we've really hindered ourselves when we've allowed this tradition to come into the church to say that, well, we let the leadership take care of everything, you know, and that's their job to do everything, and we just come and enjoy the teaching and stuff, you know. The Lord says, no, I didn't give you a gift to just do that. You know, I've given you a gift that you might willingly serve Him, serve the Lord, and that's through serving each other we do that too, serving the body of Christ. Now, a couple of things in here just to chew on and see where the Lord's coming from. In verse 13, it said, until we reach the unity in the faith. And that's talking about the doctrines. Okay? So the day will come where we will reach the unity of the faith, having the same doctrinal beliefs. But you notice at this point in time, not all believers are at the same spot in that one. Okay? And it's funny, I know different people in different churches who say they know it all. You know, and I'm thinking, really? You know, I'm still learning myself. I don't know it all. But the Lord says the day will come when we all be on the same page doctrinally, and we're striving for that, okay? So I thought this one through, all right? If you have a chance, if you run across someone and they don't agree with the doctrine you hold as you view the Scriptures, don't fight over that. The Lord says we should be building each other up, you know? So maybe you might say, well, why do you have that view? You know, and listen to where they're coming from. And as you get a chance to listen and hear where they're coming from, and if you see they've missed something, guess what? You can show what they missed. Now, it's between them and the Lord if they're going to accept it or not, okay? We talk about this on Wednesday nights. It's whether people honestly look at the Scripture or whether they put their theological glasses on when they look at Scripture, and they only see things through their theology, and they miss a lot, okay? Our goal is to take those theological glasses off and honestly look at the Scripture to see what does it say, and not allow our biases to view the way we see Scripture. Okay, so you might run across people who don't like that. They like their theological classes. They're very comfortable with that. You can encourage them and try to show them things, but when it comes down to it, it's between them and the Lord whether they're going to accept that or not. Okay, so then you can stop loving them, right? No, that's not what he said. He said patiently bearing with one another. Ooh, these are tough ones, aren't they? We can left that off, but no, the Lord said, no, that's part of it. Now, he didn't just mention the unity in the faith and the doctrine. He also said this, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that word knowledge there means to learn by experience. So the Lord is saying, just the head knowledge of the doctrine is not enough. Through that, you need to get to know Christ better, the Son of God. And that's an experience thing as you grow in the Lord. You know, I hope and pray that we're not just filling our head with head knowledge about the Bible. I hope through this whole process we're getting to know Jesus better. We're getting to know what God is like better. For instance, what did you learn today, if you hadn't seen this before? That unity is a big thing with the Lord. According to what the passage shows us here, it's pretty big to Him. You know, it might not be on our list, but to the Lord it's pretty important. So yeah, there's something we can learn about the Lord, and if we want to say, Father, I want to please you, I just don't want to get along with those Christians over there. You know, Lord says, well, you're not pleasing me by doing that then. I want you to get along with the family. Okay, I want peace in the family. So he tells us here in verse 3 again that he wants us to reach that unity in the faith and knowledge, but to become fully mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that's really not going to happen until we get to heaven. So we keep striving toward that point. Okay, and until then, the church is given the job of building up the body of Christ to make it strong and healthy. Now, one of the things we do with that, obviously, is to get us into the Word of God and hopefully getting through the whole Word of God. You know, and that's the job of the church, to be able to help equip their people. That's why I think we're really hindering some folks when we only hit our pet topics and we don't give them the whole Word of God. You know, there are people that have gifts out there that need to hear parts that may not be your pet passages you like so much. But if you go through the whole thing, you're going to make sure everybody hears, and their gift will be encouraged and edified. They can be strengthened and help others in the body of Christ. All right, verse 14. He said, then, when that moment happens, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And he lets us know that there are a lot of doctrines out there that like to sway people away from the truth, and look where they're coming from. He says they're coming from the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. And boy, you don't have to look far, do you, to see some of that. You just flip on the TV, and not every preacher on TV, but you can notice the ones on TV that are always saying, get out your checkbook and send us all your money kind of a thing. You know there's something wrong there, okay? They're not looking out for your best interest when they do that kind of stuff. So yeah, the Lord tells us that when we are mature, we're not tossed about by all those things. You know, you look at our recent history in the church in America in the last 10, 15 years, some of the waves that have come across us, you know. We've had all these wild movements that have been tagged as, this is of the Lord, you know. Well, if it's of the Lord, how come we don't see that anymore? How come we don't see it in the Word of God, you know? So for us to stay close to the Lord, stay close to His Word, and not be waving all over the place with the latest bestseller on the Christian book list, you know, or being drug aside by this wind of doctrine or that wind of doctrine, but just to stay right where we are. And this is something, I don't mean to be pushing on this, but I really appreciate Calvary Chapel for their stance they've had on the Word of God. In the many years they've been around, they have not swayed from that. There have been doctrines that have come across their path, and they have been told, you know, this is of the Holy Spirit, and if you don't follow this, then you're not following the Spirit. And their answer is, well, you know what, the Holy Spirit wrote this, so I think we'll stay right here. As long as we're right here, I think we're following where the Spirit is. You know, and lo and behold, a lot of those waves have come and gone. And they've been kind of ashamed on falling for that kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, it may seem too simple at times, but we just stick with the Word. That's right where we stay, because this is what God has told us, and we need to get fooled by all the crazy stuff that people come up with. Okay, so stay in the Word. Verse 15. He says, instead of falling for all this stuff, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we're to keep the balance here, and I see such a beautiful balance as he tells us to speak the truth in love. We have to speak the truth. You know, that has to be there. But we have to do that in love. And you see churches that go out of balance on both sides. Those that are so hardcore in the truth, you better get out of the way, because we're coming through with our truth bulldozer, and if you're not there, we're going to go right over top of you, you know. And there are other churches that go overboard on the love and say, well, we don't want to tell people all this stuff, because that's not nice to talk about. That might offend somebody, so we'll just not tell them that, you know. It's like the doctor coming into the office and saying, well, you've got cancer and you only got 6 months to live, but I don't want to tell you that because it'll make you feel bad. So I just come in and say, you know, things are looking pretty good. What do you think about the Cardinals this year? You know, and not even talk about the thing that's so important to your life. So we have to have both sides of that balance of speaking the truth in love. And that really fits in with what the Lord's been talking to us about up to this point. We can't ignore the truth. We can't ignore love. They both have to be there. So I said, as long as we're doing those things, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So what's the goal of Christianity? We're growing to be like Jesus. That's what it amounts to be. As long as we're following the Lord, we're humbly submitting to him, we're keeping his priorities our priorities, as long as we're doing those things, we're growing up in Christ. And the end product is we look more like Jesus. Boy, that's awesome. If you look at the Jesus in the Gospels, that's a pretty cool guy, you know. I'd like to see a lot of Jesus walking around. That'd be pretty neat, you know. And that's the goal of the church. Verse 16, it says, for from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And it's talking about the whole body serving with the gifts God's given us to serve with. And notice what it describes here using this picture of a body, that every supporting ligament, every part of the body is doing its job, and you have a healthy body here. And it says it grows and builds itself up in love. Don't miss that little statement in love, because you know what? If we are a healthy body of Christ, what should be coming out of us is love. You know, and not the idea that we got the greatest doctrine, that we got the greatest whatever. We should be the greatest body of loving people in the world, the body of Christ. Because if we don't have that, you know, and you can read 1 Corinthians 13 a number of times, the Lord said, if you don't have that, you don't have anything going for you. I don't care how straight your doctrine is. If you don't have love, you have nothing. So love is extremely important to the Lord, and that should be what comes out the other side of that. And he said, it says, each part is doing its work. So the body has to be healthy, every part of the body has to be working. You know, if we got issues in our body, and say your right arm isn't going to do it's hindered right now, something's wrong with it, your body's not going to be at top performance. It isn't going to work. So you need that part of the body to do its thing too, so the body is completely healthy and doing all it can do. Same with the body of Christ. Don't think your gift isn't important. Don't say, well, the Lord couldn't use me. Oh, yeah. The Lord can use us as we submit to him. And he has given you a spiritual gift, something beyond your power to accomplish. Okay? And that's the Lord's work in your life, and we all need to be doing the job he's called us to do. So let's go on to verse 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And the idea is that we're to live differently from the sinful world, because the sinful world is spiritually dead. We're not supposed to live like that anymore. And he says, here's how they're living, and the futility of their thinking. And the futility means they're just kind of aimlessly wandering around. They're not doing anything. They just are going in circles almost, the idea, you know. Their thinking is just useless. It isn't doing any good. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So notice, it's a spiritual thing that's going on in the world. They have a darkened understanding about God because their heart is so hard. And you and I were there too. The Lord had to break through that in order to reach us. Okay, so don't be discouraged when you talk to people that don't know the Lord. Just keep giving them the Word and let the Lord use His Word and His Spirit to get through. Because their heart was just as hard as yours and mine. Okay, now here's the sad part of that, verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity, meaning that they have no more conviction of sin. They get to that point. They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. They just want to sin and sin and sin and sin and sin, and they don't want to ever be a stop to that. They just want more. And you know, the sad thing about that we don't realize as lost human beings is that you'll never be satisfied chasing that. That's a dead end. At the end, you're going to fall off the cliff, and there is nothing there. You know, nothing but death. So yeah, we pray for people. Lord, please open their eyes to see where they're going. Whatever it would take to wake them up on that path, let that happen, Lord, please. That they might be spared going off the dead-end road off the cliff at the end. Okay? And they can get to that point if they've lost all sensitivity and all they want to do is more and more and more sin. Wow, isn't that sad? And I don't know about you, but I've heard some stories recently. You don't have to turn your TV on too many channels before you start hearing stuff that you think, how could they do that kind of stuff? You know, how can they indulge in those kind of things? Have they no value of the worth of life at all? You know, and that's the picture here, that they just continually lust for more. They have that strong craving, I've got to have more sin. I need more sin. How sad. But the Lord says, we are not to live that way any longer. Now get this, this is a crazy note to think about. That means we have the possibility of going back to the dead junk. Okay? Because the Lord says, don't go there anymore. He wouldn't have to tell us that if we didn't have that option. Okay? Now, I don't know about you. I wish the Lord would just have closed those things, locked all those doors behind us so there's no way to go back, you know? But no, those doors are still there, and we can still go through those ugly doors if we want to. But the Lord is going to encourage us to go forward. He goes on in verse 20. He says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. You can't tell me that you came to know a holy Messiah through a life of sin, and you thought that was a good way to go. No. It says, surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. He's basically saying, you did hear about Jesus and His holiness, right? And all He did for you. You did hear those things, didn't you? And then he goes to verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's saying we've got two options here. It's like two sets of clothes that are laid out for us. One is the old set and one is the new set. And this, the way it's described, this old set, it says that old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And that word corrupted means to be shriveled up. It means to be withered away. It's like spoiled meat or rotten vegetables. That's what it's like. And it's saying those are your options today. Do you want to walk around with that spoiled meat and rotten vegetables? Or do you want to walk around with this brand new attitude? Those are the options we have. It says to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. And that new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So amazing thoughts in this one here. He says to have a new attitude in our mind. Now, how is that going to happen? It's by getting in the Word of God. You know, the Lord tells us, trust in Him with all our heart. Do not lean on our own understanding. Do you realize how dangerous it is for you and me to lean on our own understanding? We're not seeing things as clearly as God wants us to see them. Have you run across people like this, you know, where you try to talk to them about the Lord, and they said, oh, I'm okay with God. I'm cool with Him, you know, and you're thinking, oh, really? What do you know about God? Some of the stuff they tell you is so far off the wall. And they're leaning on their own understanding of what they think God is like without coming to the book and seeing what God tells us He's like. You know, how would we feel for someone to say, oh, yeah, I know about Chuck. Man, he's done this and that and that, and he's all this stuff over here. I'm thinking, ah, that isn't me at all. You know, why don't you come and find out what I'm like, you know, rather than believing all that stuff over there. And that's what man is doing to God when he comes up and trusts in his own thinking. But Lawrence says we need to have a new attitude, and that comes in our mind, and that's as we submit to the Lord. We're allowing his word to get in us and give us his clear thinking. And what do you think about that new self he talks about in verse 24? It's created to be like God. Do you realize that's what we were like in the garden? We had true righteousness and true holiness in the garden. We lost that when man sinned. And yet the Lord says, I want to get you back to that again. Okay? As you submit to the Lord, you put on that new self. He's going to talk to us more about how to do that. But he said that's the goal that we would have, to walk in the newness that's there in Christ. Okay? All right, I think we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up next time and go further from here, because the Lord's going to give us some more practical ways of how to put off the old and put on the new as we get into that next section there, and we'll be able to go further from there. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you are patient with us, Lord, and you bear with us. And we pray, Lord, you would help us. We have different priorities than you, Lord, but we need you to change the attitude of our heart and give us your priorities. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you yet. We ask you, Lord, to soften their heart, to help them, Lord, to have that convicting work of the Spirit in their life that they might be brought to you. And Lord, we just want to rejoice to know that you have the power to do those things. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word of truth you give us. Help us to speak that truth in love. We thank you for all you're doing, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will rise.